The thing also, I think, in researching for years and reading other stories, I've been blessed enough to talk with a handful of former Negro Leaguers. The thing was is that in many instances, it was the talent on the field was equivalent and in many ways better than Major League Baseball at that time. But again, because while they feared them, of course, because of the racial barriers, there was also the thing of, in a sense, they didn't want to get shown up because they knew if they, because he wanted to have at least one all black. He tried to make it so that it would be at least one all black team in Major League Baseball. And he was thwarted so many times. But like I said, so much of it was fear of them, in a sense, surpassing all of Major League Baseball as well.
Well, you got to keep in mind that during the days of Negro League Baseball, they were drawing crowds over 30, 40,000 a game. Major League Baseball was drawing 8 to 12,000 8 to 12,000 people per game. So again, we were out drawing them. We were out entertaining them. I mean, they brought a different brand of baseball. They brought the entertainment part to it. They brought base stealing. They brought excitement to the game. And not only that, people don't know. Major Negro League Baseball started and played the first night games. The first ever night games was, I got this right from the mouth of a former Negro League player. They would hook up lights to cars, and that's how they lit up the field. About 6, 7 years later, Major League Baseball stole the idea and came up with night games. So our history is we have excelled, and someone has stole our vision and made millions out of it, and we just sit on the sideline and cry about what we don't have.
The book is ready. Make sure to purchase your copy today. It is now available on Amazon, and our website makes sure to get it today. That's www.feoa.info. Chapter 10, The Gathering of a Nation. At Chicago's Comiskey Park, the legendary East-West All-Star Game drew more than 60,000 fans, a record that echoed across the nation. The scale was unmatched by the energy, unforgettable. These weren't just games, they were gatherings of a nation within a nation. Every ticket, every cheer, every seat filled spoke of belonging of a people who refused to be invisible. When the Negro Leagues played, the world watched because they made sure you couldn't look away. That's www.feoa.info.
Exactly. And, specifically the Kansas City Monarchs, of course, one of the staples, longtime staples of the Negro League. They, if I remember correctly, they actually, part of their barnstorming was that the owner basically had it so that they had portable lights. So they would, so when they travel, and because a lot of times they would play a game during maybe play a game during the day and then play a game at night
Correct.
and then go to another city and go to another city. But again, they were so far ahead of the curve with night baseball. And one of the reasons why you see Major League Baseball starting the season over in Japan or over in Puerto Rico, what have you. Again, the Negro Leagues were doing that for years, and in many ways, that was one of the ways that helped keep the league thriving because they were, their players were able to barnstorm, and they were able to push. They were able to, in a sense, push product overseas long before. We talk about how the NFL plays a handful of games overseas, and we're talking about Major League Baseball and a lot of other sports, but again, the Negro Leagues were ahead of the curve in that, where they were doing it just to survive, but they thrived because of this.
And Negro League players, so a lot of people don't know, when they were barnstorming, they played the major league teams, and they would beat the major league teams. Most of the stars of the white Major League Baseball would not refuse to play because they didn't want to, number one, be on the field with a black, same field with a black player. Number two, they didn't want to know that the black teams were better than them and beat them. So what they did when they played the Negro League teams, they made them play as an all-star team. So they couldn't say the Homestead Braves beat the New York Yankees. They had to say the Negro League all-star team. And that's even back then, that mindset. You know, we're going over to Japan and third world countries, flooding the major leagues with these players only because we refuse to acknowledge black players. And that's why we have a steady decline even today in the 21st century of African-American baseball players, because the dollar in the black community is not of value to them. And they go to Japan and get a whole country. They go over into one of these third world countries and they draw in a whole country for their player. That's where the market is at today. It's not on the black player. People keep talking about the decline of black baseball.
Right.
I just think to myself, we was outgrossing revenue-wise Major League Baseball. We were the entertainment. If we would have stayed on course, the track that Major League Baseball is on now is a billion-dollar industry. We could have been that black baseball, Negro League Baseball, and Major League Baseball would be a non-existent factor. But we didn't have the vision that Lou Foster had to maintain and grow what we had to that global level as it is today.
Game changer. Rube Foster and the Birth of Black Baseball. Not just another book, but the book of books for a 21st century generation. Can I tell the story? Purchase your copy today at www.feoa.info, www.feoa.info, and be sure to purchase your copy of the book. You won't regret it. Click the link to share, subscribe, follow, or like us on social media. Thank you in advance for your support. That's www.feoa.info.